Matthew chapter 26. And we see here in this chapter that the Lord Jesus, he's here with the disciples, and it's in the hour of him being betrayed. I believe he's born. He's going to bear our sins, the load of our sins being placed upon him, and he's going to bear them to Calvary. And he's undertaking a season of prayer. And he makes a statement here to the disciples, to the apostles that are there with him, the 11. And in verse 40, he comes and he finds them asleep. And he says unto Peter, I find that interesting that he directs this. The scripture says he directs this at Peter. And I think that comes maybe from the standpoint of Peter having said that he wouldn't betray the Lord, even though everybody would, he wouldn't. Maybe it has to do with that. Maybe it has to do with Peter being a leader amongst the apostles, because he is. He is a leader amongst the apostles. And he finds him asleep, and he says unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's what we want to take a look at this morning, just for a short time, about this subject, this thing that we need to understand and know. We know is true, if we're honest, about our weakness in his strength. You know, as you get older, when you're young, you think you got the world by the tail and you've got all this vim, vigor, and vitality. And we don't think about weakness when we're young. And that's just the way that it works and the way that it is. We don't fear much when we're young. And it's good to put respect and fear in its right place, of course. But that's just that way. When you hear about these ATV and motorcycle wrecks, you hear that it's mostly young people because they like the thrill. We enjoyed the thrill of going fast and having the air going through across our faces and such as that. And you don't think about getting hurt happening to you. But as we get older, or as we become more sober, and I don't mean that from the standpoint of not being drunk. Of course, we're not to be drunk, but we understand about life, understand the ramifications of things. As you take on a family, you understand about responsibilities, and you've got a wife. For us fellows, we've got a wife and the children that depend on us, or a mother that's got children and a husband depending on them, or whatever. We understand about this, about weakness. We've had a season of sickness come through the church, and it's been somewhat alarming about how it hit as many as it did, suddenly, altogether. And that happens. It's happened. I believe it's certainly happened in the past. We've got greater sensitivity to it these days. But all of us that became ill, young or old, you didn't want to, did you? You couldn't prevent it. We all take things. Some of us take things that others of us don't take, and vice versa. And maybe there's some of us that take everything that everybody takes. We try to ward it off. We try to do things. We should do well. We should do well with our diet and the things that are bad for us, not take those in. Things that are good for us, take those in. All that kind of thing. And we try, and we do what we can. But when the fever comes on, when the cough starts coming around from the standpoint of health, we are just weak on stopping it. We just can't stop it, can we? Young or old, it doesn't matter. When it comes on us, we have things in life that come about, and we take care, we take caution, we do things. Sometimes things just don't go well, and we don't have the strength. We just don't have the reach with the strength and ability to keep a thing from happening. Someone gets the notice that they've got cancer. We don't want cancer. Not a one of us wants cancer by any means, but there's just nothing we can do to take it and keep it from come visiting at our door. We try. We do the things that we can. You know, You don't want to go and expose yourself to an X-ray machine and people that work in medicine that deal. You know, there's precautions, but you can't stop it. You know, when it really gets down to a lot of things, when it gets down to everything, we're really weak, aren't we? It is that way. It's not a subject for us to consider from the standpoint of the scriptures that should cause us to despair. That's not the purpose of it. It's, again, that sobriety, that soberness to understand. If we will understand things the way, and I want to preach a message on it soon, about the way God sees things rather than the way we see things, if we see about our weakness and then having seen that and understanding about that, take that to the Lord, then we'll be seeing things the right way and we'll be helped. When you're laying there in bed sick, what do you do? Well, we might be angry. Yeah, I've been there. I don't know about you. Be inconvenienced. I don't need this right now. Our plans changed. We don't want that, especially the bigger the plans, the worse it is, the more we're offended or hurt or troubled by it. And all those things. But what do we do when we're challenged and tried this way? Do we go to the Lord? Do we resign ourselves to the Lord that knows all things? Do we run in circles and scream and shout? Do we look to fight against it? Or do we lay ourselves in our Lord's hands from the standpoint of our hearts? We are in His hands. I mean, that goes without saying, as His children. But do we resign ourselves to that and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm weak. I'm sick. I need Your help and touch upon me. Do we go to Him when we're sick like that once a day? Once in the illness? Or multiple times a day? You know, how do we see our weakness? You know, we say, well, no, I'll drink a pot and plenty of water, which you should do. I'll take my vitamin C, which, okay, if you're persuaded that way, do that. I do that. And do all I can, and it'll all come out. And I'll go to the doctor, and it'll all be okay. I'll tell you what, we need to go to the Lord, and we need to go to the Lord often, because we're weak. And no one, no person that we seek for help on the earth is any less weak than we are, less weak than we are, because if the Lord doesn't help us, we're not going to be helped, because He's the only one that is not weak, which we'll take a look at. Weakness in the flesh. And thinking about this and going through the scriptures and just looking about the subject, I saw this, which is at first may seem kind of odd. 1 Peter chapter 3, we have this instruction, and meditating about this aspect of it, the weakness of the flesh. We've got this command from the Lord in 1 Peter chapter 3, brethren, and it says to us in verse number 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, that is our wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There's to be harmony there, and there's to be understanding about the headship that the Lord has given, that He's done that. And why is it that the wife is the weaker vessel? If you go back, I mean, I thought about that. You know, why is it that she's the weaker vessel? Indeed, the Lord has done and designed it, but that way, if it wasn't for the woman, there would be no children. And of course, it takes man too. But the Lord has equipped the woman to be able to bear children in that. And in that designing and everything that the Lord's done in that, so she can. Remember what the Lord said, that the woman would be saved by childbearing. That's what the Lord said. And when did He say that? Do you remember when He said that? He said that after the fall. Because she'll be saved by childbearing because her conception will be multiplied. Remember that? And that was after the fall. At the same time that the Lord told her there and told women there in Genesis chapter 3 that her desire would be to her husband. And so my point, as I began to muse about that and think about that, is that those things came after the fall in that way and in that order. This manifestation or this directive by the Lord for headship and this multiplication of conception and this causing the woman to be in a state of being the weaker vessel. Remember how it was before the fall? Remember what the words are? A man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Now that still holds true now after the fall, but that's all there was. And I by no means want to be dogmatic about that before and after, but it is interesting to look into, isn't it? And let me add something to you, add something to this for you to consider and think about. As we head towards that glorious time of being with our Lord, well, Brother Stephen pointed out, ultimately we're going to have the millennial reign on here, and that's going to, on this earth, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. And then the new heaven and the new earth, and we'll be with the Lord. You know what the Lord says about there? It says about that place and about that time and those times and that. There's not male or female. We'll be the sons of God. There's not a weaker and not as weak gender. That has an importance and a bearing upon how we live and operate and work. But that's for now. Isn't that interesting, what was before the fall and then what came after the fall and then compared to where we're heading to again? It's interesting, isn't it? But we're weak. We're weak. Man has been given, men have been given the office of leadership in their homes. And understand, fellas, that we do that before the Lord. Let us not take the wives that we have and the family and home that we have as a light thing, because we have great responsibility before the Lord in it. And anyone that would seek to take a wife, to form a new family by marriage, don't take that as a light thing, because it is a great, great responsibility. I mean, understand, if a man can't be responsible for himself, he may not be able to be responsible for a wife to boot. And we need to understand about that. And then men. Can we say that we're strong? Well, we need to be, and we certainly need to strive to be, and we need to do what the Lord has given us to do, but we're weak too, aren't we? We're just weak. And of course, all of that is because of sin. We see in the great resurrection chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to what happens as we live our lives, and how we see life go on. We see men and women come to the prime of the life, having their families and all those things, but time and age just keeps on trucking along, and we keep getting older and older and older. And that one, that person that could think and could do and had strength and could do things, their body just wears out. And what's it say here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 43? Speaking about the body, and it is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. Because of weakness. Got to have the rollator, got to have the cane, got to have the wheelchair, got to be carried. Didn't used to have to be carried. Didn't have to used to have anybody tend to you. But because of sin and the effects on the body, there's still life there, and there's want to there, but just because there's want to there, you just can't keep on going. Ultimately, to this place, it is sown in weakness, verse number 43. But praise be to the Lord, it's raised in power because of the resurrection of the Lord. Because of, well, I tell you what, the raising of the dead, the giving of a glorified body, that doesn't come from one who is weak. But we are weak indeed, the weakness of the flesh. In Romans chapter 8, we've touched on this recently, and how it is with the law and the purpose of the law in that. And this book of Romans makes that very clear unto us. We see in Romans 8, verse number 3, let's take a look here. Romans 8, verse number 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. See, there's no problem with the law, is there? There's not a problem with the law of God. What the problem is and was and has been is you and me. The law is a fine thing, but sinful, depraved mankind, that's the weakness. That's the weakness. The first commandment, the first covenant, the first testament, it couldn't work. It didn't work. And it's not like the Lord thought that it would. So don't misunderstand that. The Lord knew what he was doing. And he did that just to prove to us, to show to us that we cannot. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, the law is righteous. The Lord Jesus is righteous in keeping it. But it might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We, by faith, by being touched by the Lord and filled with his Spirit, we, through Christ, by Christ, are found able to keep the law of God by imputation. His keeping it is imputed unto us. But for us to keep it, it was impossible because we're weak. We're weak. We're weak physically. We're weak intellectually. I mean, think about it. Brother Stephen brought out about the institution of the church this morning and how the Lord does and how he leads. He leads with things to bring us to the ultimate end. You know, fellowship with our God, to walk humbly with him, has always been the goal and the target, has always been the plan of the Lord from the beginning. I mean, he created Adam and his wife, and he went down in the garden in the cool of the day to visit with them. And could he gone off and done a multitude of things that you and I can't even comprehend? But he desired to go down there and fellowship with them. Fellowship with us. In Hebrews chapter 7, we see this also here. Speaking about the Lord Jesus, he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, an endless life, without beginning, without end. Not after Aaron and after a man that had an end and had a beginning in that. And look what it says in Hebrews 7:17. For he testifieth, that is the Father, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, speaking of Christ. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. A disannulling. Like Brother Stephen talked about the tabernacle. It served its time. It got wrapped up and put in the temple. I hadn't seen that part of that before. The Old Testament couldn't do it because the flesh is weak. So now, by Christ and by a priest that could do something, who could do something permanent, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, that is the Old Testament, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof, because why was it weak and why was it unprofitable? Because we couldn't keep it. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And what is that hope? Our Lord Jesus, in every respect. By the which we draw nigh, we draw near unto God. Jesus said it himself, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say that religion was the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say an order of service or a list of procedural steps was the way to the Father. But he is the way to the Father. And so we see about our spiritual weakness, our physical weakness. We are weak in this flesh. This weakness, as we mentioned, is caused by sin. We take a look over here at 1 Corinthians 11. And this is appropriate. This is apropos for us as a church. You know this church at Corinth. I mean, they had troubles. And we're not to look down on them by any means. We're to learn from them. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't quit them. And He's not quitting us. He can quit a church. He talks about that in the book of the Revelation. And so we need to beware as a church in that. We do. And this is not accusatory. I'm not being accusatory in this. It's just, if it's written for us, we need to know soberly that it's there, that we might stay away from the things we need to stay away from. That's all. That's all. Listen to what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 30. Speaking about the Lord's Supper and the administration of that, this lack of discernment about the Lord's body, he says this in verse number 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." That means are dead. Again, it's not accusatory. It's just a warning for the time. Because of sin, we can become weak. Because of sin as a whole, we are weak. But because of sin in our lives as the children of God, we can become weak. We can become sick. We can become dead. And that is because of the touch upon our Lord. Now understand, I'm not saying that, but by no means are we to look upon one another suspiciously. We're not to look for things that aren't there, like they are there, when we don't know or have a clue if they're there or not. Okay, but what this is that we need to be aware that we can sin against the Lord and it can make us sick. Who knows about one sin? Well, sometimes you know about my sins because I say something or I behave in a way or I do something and you see that. And sometimes you'll come to me and you'll tell me about it and I'll have understanding of that. That's supposed to be a good way about it, to repent and confess it before the Lord in that. Sometimes we see one another's sins and what are we to do about that? Well, if it's something that we think is great enough, we're to go to one another privately and to help one another with it. That's part of being in a family. This church is part of that. But who really knows about our sins? Well, us and the Lord, right? We're the ones that really know. We're the ones that really know. And certainly when we see sin manifested in one another's lives, and we see a little something here, hear a little something there, or whatever, what are we to do? Well, we're to help, but certainly we're to pray, aren't we? We're to pray. Listen to what it says in James chapter 5, and I find this interesting. We can become weak because of disobedience. And we need to know that and beware of that. Stay away from that. And you know what? When we are made weak because of our sin by the Lord, you know why He does that? Because He loves us. The chastening of the Lord is not for those who are not children. The chastening and touch of the Lord are for those who are children. So it's a good thing. It's hard on us, but that's what sin does to us. It hurts us. It sets us back. The correction will hurt us and set us back. And again, this is not accusatory in any way about our present distress. It's just something in this of weakness. We need to know that these things are so. And so what's given to us? Well, of James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Yeah, we have some, don't we? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, the Lord says, and if. You know, so it's not that what's been done needs to be drug out in the open and sliced and diced by everyone. No, it's not. It's not that. It's just, if that is the case, the Lord will help. The Lord will forgive. And so, in weakness, in our weakness, we need to pray for one another, don't we?
Yeah.
We need to pray for one another.
Yeah.
We don't need to be suspicious of one another. That's not what this is given to us to do. No. You know what? You know why sometimes we get sick? Because we get sick. But sometimes we get sick might be the touch of our Father upon us. And only that person in the Lord can truly know. Unless it's some public sin that the Lord tells us about in the church that the church has to deal with and such as that. But we're weak, aren't we? And you know what? Sin makes us weak. Sin brings us down. And it doesn't matter. Sin will bring the pastor down. Sin will bring the member down. Sin will bring the treasurer down. Sin will bring the clerk down. It'll bring every member down. And so we need to stay away from it because it'll make us weak. We need to pray for ourselves. So when you're sick, you pray for yourself. That's a good time to pray for yourself when you're sick, Lord. I remember the greatest time, two times about being sick that I remember is one up in Missouri when Clarissa and all the children, we were all sick for a week. I thought we were done for. We had the flu. And then one time I was traveling, and about a Monday night or a Tuesday morning, woke up sick. And had a job I had to get done by Friday or Saturday, and I had the flu. We need to pray for ourselves when we're sick, and we need to pray one for another. And when we're not sick, we need to pray one for another because we're weak. We're weak. And we need our Lord's help. And we need to know that the weakness of sin and that sin will cause us to be weak. Listen to Galatians chapter 4. Listen to what we've been saved from, and listen to what can happen if we go and we begin to chase after or dabble in the sin that we've been saved from. These churches in Galatia, in that region of Asia Minor, they've been sold a bill of goods by some Judaizers that want to add something to Christ. They want to take and they want to pile some things on the gospel. Surely you've got to do more than just repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be circumcised. No, you don't have to be circumcised. Christ is sufficient. And so Paul's dealing with that. And listen to what he says here in chapter 4, verse number 8. And listen to the phraseology here. Howbeit then, when you knew not God before you were saved, you did service unto them which were by nature are no gods. Okay, Romans chapter 1. But now, and can you remember that's a pagan culture and society that they lived in. But now after that you have known God, I like this interjection, or rather are known of God, are you known of God? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Does He know you? Does He know you? How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? See, sin is weak. Now, sin is a strong bond master indeed. But relative to the things of God, the eternal things, the glorification of God, sin is weak. Sin takes a person the wrong direction. It's weak and it's beggarly. It's down there in the base, the depraved muck and mire of the human existence. Go back to that. The Lord Jesus is not sufficient. Why do you want to go back to what you've been saved from? It's no good. The weak and beggarly elements. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? The weakness of sin. Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. He said it'll take you and it'll bind you right up. You've been made free in Christ. You've been made free from religion. You've been made free in Christ Jesus in regards to your sin and to life and a future and service now. You want to be drawn back into that weak and beggarly? When you think of a beggar, what's a beggar doing? They're begging for crumbs. We think about Brother Lazarus being desiring to be fed from the crumbs from the rich man's table. I want to go back to that. Sin is weak, and the things caused by sin weaken us. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see this. And praise be to our Lord for it. Our God is not weak, is He? He is not weak at all. We pick it up in verse 25 of chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to this. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The weakness of God is stronger than men. On our best day, as a whole, of all men that have ever lived, all put together, the weakness of God, which it doesn't exist, but he's making a point, is stronger than men. We are weak, but our God is strong. And he's strong in cunning. He is not weak in intellect. He is not weak in the physical, the realm in which you and I live. He is not weak in those things spiritual. That is him. We are. We are weak, but he is not weak at all. So let us not be weak in faith in him. Amen? Let us not be weak in faith in him. We need to be weak in faith in ourselves, because we are weak. But let us not be weak in faith in him. Romans chapter 4. Let's take a look here. Romans chapter 4, verse number 18. Speaking about Brother Abraham. In verse number 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God made Abraham a promise, and he believed it. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, God was able to perform. Abraham didn't look around at the circumstances, did he? He believed what God said. When you and I are sick and laying on our bed, and that's the present example that we have, there's many other aspects of life. But don't we have a promise that our Lord will never leave us or forsake us?
Amen.
And do you and I realize, do we remember that one day the Lord is going to take us out of here? Now, none of us want to go early, do we? Well, we think early, but you know what? When we go, it'll be right on time. Right? Now, we should just not be complacent. But you know what? When we are faced with trial and trouble and tribulation, when we do find our own selves sick or our loved ones sick, we need to know that God will never leave us or forsake us, and that he is able, and we need to go to him. We are weak, but he is not. And may we not be weak in faith, regarding our strong, strong God. Abraham was not. He was not weak in faith. He could have said, look how old I am. Look at Sarah. Look how old she is. No. He believed what God said. And even though we're weak, may we not be weak in faith regarding the power and strength of our Lord. Jesus said it, and it's recorded also in Mark, as we read in Matthew. It's recorded in Mark chapter 14, verse 38. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The spirit's willing. And you know, we say that. Said, on the inside, I want to, but I just can't make my body do it. Those fellows there, they'd had a good meal. They'd heard wonderful instruction and teaching by the Lord. They're getting thrown on their ear about what Jesus keeps saying about him going to die, him going to die, him going to die. And they don't understand it. They just don't hear what he says about being raised again the third day. They don't get all that. They're weak in understanding. And that's the way we are. We're just weak. But he's strong. And in our weakness, may we rest in him and his strength. Not trust our own self and our own device and our way. Because here's how it all started for us. Romans chapter 5. You're here and you're saved. This is how it started for you. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, that means weak, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew he was dying for the weak, didn't he? He knew he was dying for those without strength. We don't have to hide that from the Lord, that we're not strong. We just need to go to him in our weakness, seeking his help and his strength. Let us do so. He's glorified when we see things the way he sees them. We see with the light of the Lord in our eyes, not the light that is darkness, just being constrained up here with what we think it's working in this world and that's all there is. But we see things the way the Lord sees things. We are weak. He is strong. And in him is our help. We glorify him in that. We do. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. He says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. He says this about Christ. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. He's not saying that Christ was weak, but he's saying that Christ appeared to be weak. But he was doing the greatest, strongest thing that a strong man could ever do. And I said, is he faced death and sin for us? He appeared to be weak, and he came meek and lowly and submitted himself to everything. But all along the way, he said, my hour has not yet come. It was time. Then when it was time, his hour had come. He told Pilate, said, you can't have any power over me except it was given to you, right? And then the scripture says, he yielded up the ghost. Not gave it up. Yielded. He released his spirit from his body when it was time. But he did that for us. For we also are weak in him. And that's that understanding. We have no help, no physical ability. And again, it's not given unto us. This is not given unto us to understand and to despair, but to understand the sober point. We are weak, but in him we are strong indeed. And strength unto that of life. we shall live with him by the power of God toward us. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. For he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My gift, my power, my strength, it'll be enough for you. It'll carry you through, Paul. It'll carry you through, my child. My grace is sufficient. For my strength, the Lord says, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul, the result of that and his understanding and thinking in that, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, not my strength, but his strength and my weakness. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We're weak, but he is strong. It says, our brothers and sisters, there in Hebrews 11:34, it says, out of weakness they were made strong. How was that just an automatic thing that happened? And I think they looked to the Lord in their distress. They looked to the Lord in their trouble. Don't look to the Lord, and you're not going to have peace and comfort. But look to the Lord. He's promised he will, won't he? That's a very real thing. It's an experiential thing. It's a thing that we have to do on this front, and we're blessed and we learn. And then we have a new facet in front, and we need to do so there. And we experience and we learn. And then we have another front. Maybe it's one we've been through before. And we look to him and rest in him. And he blesses us that way. And we learn and we grow in that. The psalmist declared, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. What did he say he did? He cried. He cried unto the Lord. He went to him. Our weakness is great, but his strength is eternal and everlasting. And may we go to him. The psalmist declares in Psalm 118:14, the Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. If you're here and you're not saved, you're weak. You're the worst kind of weak. Because all there is your weakness because of sin. And in that state, it's going to take you to hell and the lake of fire. You've got nothing to say. You've got nothing to present or to show. You've got nothing. The scripture says that the law and the word of God shows and makes you guilty before God. And there's no rebuttal to that. And in that state of wickedness, there's a state of weakness because of sin. It's taking you to death and to an eternal death. And you can't stop it and you can't change it. You're weak. You can't grab a hold of the edge of the side of the pit. You can't grab a hold of a family member. You can't grab a hold of a loved one. You can't grab a hold of a principle or a philosophy. You are weak. But the Lord, he's strong eternally. He's made a way that a sinner, a weak sinner like you, can be saved through repentance of your sins before him, to admit before God that you are personally guilty against him, and believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the all-sufficient, all-powerful, eternally strong Savior that you need. You know what? By his strength, he can take you and your weakness and rescue you.